We need a representative. We need someone to go into God's presence on our behalf. We can't go ourselves or we die because of our sin. The Bible says in the book of Romans that death is the just penalty for sin. So the only means for people to come before God is if something dies in their place so that judgment is served. This means a sacrifice needs to be made. So we've got to look back to the Old Testament to kind of understand this. So in the Old Testament, God appointed priests to represent the people. They would make animal sacrifices to atone for sin and then come into God's presence in the tabernacle or temple on behalf of the people, and that act as that third party to intercede for them. But this system was only temporary. It was a replication that pointed to something greater. So like God's people in the Old Testament, to come into God's presence, we need a priest, but we need a better one. Heaven and earth has been separated because of our sin. We can't enter heaven. So we need someone to ascend into God's presence in heaven for us, because we can't ascend ourselves. And Jesus is the ultimate high priest that the Old Testament system pointed to, who has ascended into heaven on our behalf to represent us before God. So Jesus is the ultimate high priest for three reasons. Firstly, he's an eternal priest. So look at chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. So the human priests keep dying. That's a problem. But here's the game changer, verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. His priestly work is continual and ongoing, which we need because we continue to sin. Secondly, he's a perfect priest. Look at verse 26. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Jesus is perfect. He's without sin. He has the right to enter heaven and stand in God's presence as the perfect human to represent us. And thirdly, he offers the ultimate sacrifice. So the earthly priests, they could only offer animal sacrifices, which were temporary. We need someone who can offer a sacrifice that will completely and finally atone for our sin. So in verse 27, it says, he sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. So Jesus is the all-sufficient sacrifice for all our sins. But wasn't that done in the past? Like his life, his death, his resurrection, you know, that's all happened. He said, it is finished. Everything to save us is done, right? So why does he have to keep interceding for us? Does that mean, you know, there was something incomplete about his atoning work? This is an important question because the answer shapes how we view and relate to Jesus and our salvation now. Dane Ortlund answers the question like this. He says, justification, that is us being made right with God, is what Christ did in the past. Intercession is what Christ is doing in the present. Intercession applies what the atonement accomplished. Christ's present heavenly intercession on our behalf is a reflection in heaven of the fullness and victory and completeness of his earthly work, not a reflection of anything lacking in his earthly work. The atonement accomplished our salvation. Intercession is the moment-by-moment application of that atoning work. In the past, Jesus did what he now talks about. In the present, Jesus talks about what he then did. It's like an artist who's painted a painting. You know, they've spent countless hours pouring their heart and soul into their work until it's finished, and then their masterpiece hangs in a gallery for everyone to see, so it can be viewed and enjoyed. And so Jesus' saving work has been completed. It now hangs on display before God in heaven as a constant reminder and proof of our justification. But what does this mean? We see in verse 25 of chapter 7, it says, because Jesus always lives to intercede for us, he is able to save completely. He is able to save completely. The Greek word here, completely, is pantelis, which means comprehensive or exhaustive. It can also be translated as to the uttermost. Dane Ortlund writes, we are to the uttermost sinners. We need a to the uttermost Saviour. Now we know Jesus saves us, but I think often we can act as though Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, Jesus is able to save for the most part. Ortlund expands on this. He says, we all tend to have some small pocket of our life where we have difficulty believing the forgiveness of God reaches. We say we are totally forgiven, pretty much anyway, but there's that one deep, dark part of our lives, even our present lives, that seems so intractable, so ugly, so beyond recovery. To the uttermost in Hebrews 7:25 means God's forgiving, redeeming, restoring touch reaches down into the darkest crevices of our souls, those places where we are most ashamed, most defeated. And more than this, those crevices of sin are themselves the places where Christ loves us the most. His heart willingly goes there. His heart is most strongly drawn there. He knows us to the uttermost, and he saves us to the uttermost, because his heart is drawn out to us to the uttermost. We cannot sin our way out of his tender care. Isn't that beautiful? And this is true even when we fall into the same sin for the 100th time. It's true for when you sin tomorrow. It's true for when you sin in 10 years' time. It's true when you sin small. And it's true even when you sin big and mess up really badly. I reckon we can tend to think of Christ's saving work and our ongoing sin like a race between two cars. You know, there's always one car kind of overtaking the other. But Jesus' ongoing interceding work on our behalf means his car is always in front and leaves the car of our sin for dead. Sin can never get in front. And the reason we know this is true is because Jesus always lives to intercede for us. He never stops. As long as Jesus is present in heaven, interceding for us before God the Father, we are present in heaven. Our salvation is secure because Jesus' priestly intercession is perfect and permanent. So if you sin, lift your eyes to heaven and see Jesus in God's presence on your behalf. This is the album artwork of one of my favorite albums. It's called Ascension Songs, and it features all songs about the Ascension. And you can see on the top right there, so the disciples, then on the top right, Jesus' feet as he ascends, going up into heaven. What do you notice on his feet? Yeah, his feet that have been pierced on the cross. So as Jesus ascends into heaven, he bears the marks of being crucified on the cross. The marks that prove his saving work for us, having dealt with our sins. As he ascends into heaven, those are on display before God. And second picture. Ooh, does that look familiar? Yes, Christ the King. It's hiding around the corner there. I'm still campaigning for it to be returned to its original position at the windows. But again, this is, I think often we see Jesus on the cross, you know, like as he was crucified, right? But here we see him on the cross, but in glory, with a crown and stars and, you know. So that, I think, really helps us understand, as he ascends, the application of his saving work on the cross, being present in heaven as he ascends. So I think those two things are really helpful visual reminders of what we're talking about. So secondly, the ascension tells us what we can be doing right now. Because Jesus has ascended into heaven and is our perfect high priest who is interceding for us, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. It says in Hebrews 4:16, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. This is a call to prayer, to bring all your sins and sorrows and struggles to God your Father, confident that he hears you, so that you can receive mercy for your sins and grace in your time of need. We have direct access to him because Jesus is in his presence on our behalf. This is why we pray in Jesus' name as our representative. This is why we can say with him in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father." What a glorious and joyous reality. But let's be honest, I think prayer often can feel really hard. I know I find this. Often we can struggle to pray. This can be a really common experience in the Christian life. We can be busy, tired, distracted. Our prayer lives maybe are not what we might hope, what we desire, maybe not what they once were. And maybe this is not you right now, but it might be one day. And if you're like me, often we don't come to God in prayer with confidence. Why is this? Well, I think often deep in our hearts, we try to, or we think, that we have to intercede for ourselves. We think we have to pray in our own name instead of in Jesus' name. We forget that Jesus is able to save completely, and we find within our hearts the temptation to believe that his work is not enough and that we've got to contribute to make ourselves acceptable to God. And when this happens, we're relying on ourselves instead of on Jesus. We're striving to live by our own works instead of by faith in his. We believe the lie that we need to do more to gain access to God. And we believe the lie that we can do more to gain access to God. I think there are three possibilities of what our prayer life might look like when this happens. The first is faithless fear. And they all feature alliteration, which is lucky. Faithless fear. We come to God not confidently, but timidly. We doubt if he really loves us, if he really forgives all our sins, if he's pleased with us, if he wants to hear our prayers. The second is dry duty. We come to God mechanically, going through the motions, not out of love for him or in his love for us, but reliant on coming in our own strength. And the third is apathetic absence. We don't come to God at all. We don't believe that we actually have access to him, that if we do pray, our cries will go unheard, and that really it's up to us to deal with our problems. Now, you might experience these at different times in your life. You might experience a combination of these, maybe all three. But see, we can't come to God with confidence in ourselves. We can't intercede for ourselves. That's a burden we can't carry. But the good news of the ascension is that we don't have to intercede for ourselves. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 14. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven. And later in chapter 8, verse 2, we do have such a high priest who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Jesus, the true priest, is yours. You have him. He's there for you. He's in God's presence right now for you. So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. How? Through him. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because Jesus is the perfect priest, so you don't need to be. He's the one who has always been faithful in representing you before God, so you don't need to represent yourself. The one who has never ceased interceding for you to make sure your place in God's family in heaven is secure. Dane Ortlund says this, "One way to think of Christ's intercession then is simply this, Jesus is praying for you right now. Jesus is praying for you right now." I remember when I was young, when I was growing up, sometimes I'd wake up early and I'd go down to the living room and I'd see my mum sitting there. And she'd have got up even earlier and she was there with her little devotional book and I knew that she'd been praying. She'd been praying for me, for our family, and for many others. And that was something I still remember. And that's such a comfort and encouragement. How much more so to know that Jesus is praying for us. Imagine as you face temptation, you hear Jesus praying for you in the next room. Imagine as you give in to temptation and sin, you hear Jesus praying for you in the next room. Imagine as your child disobeys you, as you struggle with your health, as you're weighed down by that problem at work, as your life doesn't go to plan, you hear Jesus praying for you in the next room. Jesus never forgets to pray for you. He never tires of praying for you. Even when we sin, even when we fail in praying confidently and faithfully, his prayers for us continue. In the past year, I've gone through a bit of a dry patch in my faith. I've been struggling spiritually, and I've found it really hard to pray. There have been times where I've really struggled, and I was sharing this with someone and saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't even pray. And she said, it's okay. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. This reality can give us great confidence when we're struggling to pray. And you know what? He's glad to do it. He's glad to do it. He doesn't do it begrudgingly, despite what we might think. He lives to intercede for us. This is what he lives for. It's an outpouring of his warmth and love towards us. Dane Ortlund says this, "His interceding for us reflects his heart, the same heart that carried him through life and down into death on behalf of his people, is the same heart that now manifests itself in constant pleading with and reminding and prevailing upon his Father to always welcome us." You'll never be able to come to God with confidence until you see Jesus, the perfect high priest who sacrificed himself to save us completely. He's the ascended Lord who first descended to the cross. As he hung there dying in our place, he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this prayer was met with silence as he bore the judgment for our sin. But now that our sin has been dealt with, our prayers can be heard by the Father as Jesus stands in his presence interceding for us. So when we're struggling to pray, the answer to the weakness of our prayers is the strength of his. We can be confident that God hears our feeble voice on earth because Christ's resounding voice rings out in heaven. So we can come confidently to the Father with all our sins, sorrows, and struggles. So through the ascension, we see what Jesus is doing right now, living to intercede for us. And through the ascension, we can see that we can be empowered to come to God in prayer with confidence through him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you that he is there in your presence right now interceding for us. That he has done everything necessary for our salvation. And that he continues to plead for us on our behalf so that we can never fall out of relationship with you. Thank you that this makes our salvation secure, that we can be confident of your love for us, and that we can come to you boldly in prayer. Lord, we recognize the ways that we've forgotten this, that we've tried to strive in our own efforts, thinking we need to come to you in our own name, on our own strength, relying on our own works. Lord, we pray that you would give us great faith and trust in Jesus and what he's doing on our behalf, and that this would empower us to pray to you. We pray that you would richly bless us with a deeper grasp of this and a deeper sense of fellowship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.